Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Holy Hour of Power. Hey, this is Jesus 911. This is Tuesdays and Thursdays. I talk about all things Catholic. We call it muscular Christianity. And I think one of the best, by the way, I'm a one-man car, I'm a king car. My partner, Ruben, is out doing some apostolic work. Whenever we come together here on Jesus 911 on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I try to talk about issues that are going to build the faith up of men. And I think that the thing that's going to build up a man's virtue, his nobility, his character, is the worship of God. The worship of God builds a man up. When a man does not worship God, when a man's the secular humanist pagan, there is no virtue. He's being torn down. And so, as a Catholic, I want to talk to you about the importance, the power of the Mass, and then the power of reverence. How important it is for us to be reverent at Mass, and even attend a Mass that's reverent. Here's what, in case you're wondering about the word Christmas, okay? If you've ever thought about it, the word Christmas means the Mass of Christ. Sure does. It's an old English phrase, Christus Missae, the Mass of Christ. And the Catholic Mass was given to us by Jesus Christ at the Last Supper. The Catholic Mass is instituted by God. It's God-instituted worship. Idolatry is man-instituted worship. So what is the Mass? Let me give you a quick definition. The Mass is heaven on earth. The Mass transports us to spiritual Jerusalem. It doesn't matter where you live. LA Diocese, Phoenix Diocese, Washington Diocese. At Holy Mass, you're transported to spiritual Jerusalem. And let me explain how. The crucifixion of our Lord on Calvary is to history the equivalent of throwing a rock in a still pond of water. The ripple effect on the water is like the Mass. The Mass is the ripple effect of Calvary. That's how you and I come in contact with Christ on Calvary. And the blood of Jesus, which is the power of salvation, it flows through time and space into eternity through the Mass. Calvary, think about this, it's like a power socket. It's a power outlet. At Mass, we plug into Calvary, the power source, which makes Calvary's effects present to us here and now. And so receiving the Holy Eucharist, which are the fruits of Calvary, is like reaching back 2,000 years and grabbing a hold of the cross and letting the blood of Jesus pour over you and wash you clean. When you walk out of Mass, you're walking down the slopes of Calvary. Did you catch that? Mass will never be the same again if you pondered that. When you go to Mass, you're allowing Calvary, the blood of Jesus, to pour over you and wash you clean. So when you walk out of Mass, the Jesus of Calvary 2,000 years ago and the Jesus in the Holy Eucharist is one and the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to understand the enormity of the Catholic Mass, you must understand that the heavenly liturgy and the earthly liturgy is one in the same. For young people, you guys like to watch Marvel Comics and all these Avengers superheroes. Well, let me tell you about this one superhero called Flash. I'm entertained by him. I've watched him a few times. I've watched him once or twice. Think about the Flash. Okay, he's able to run so fast that he can go back in time, right? Okay, well, God's faster than Flash. In fact, the Flash talks about God all the time, if you've ever watched that series. So Flash can run so fast he can go back in time. Well, guess what? So can God go back in time as well. Actually, all time is present before God right now. That's how fast he is. The past, the present, and the future are an eternal now before God, who is outside of time, theologically speaking. So at the Holy Mass, God makes the past, the Last Supper, and the crucifixion on Calvary present in the altar of every Catholic Mass. That's why there's sacred silence, the ringing of bells to alert us of this great miracle. And the sacred music is the only thing appropriate at this time. Because at Mass, we stand at the foot of the cross with Our Lady and John the Apostle. And I don't know about you. What do you think? I think they were in sacred silence. What do you think? Let me, I'll tell you something that breaks my heart. Is that as so many Catholics have just left the church because they don't know this theology. They don't realize it. But I'll tell you something about the Mass, especially the traditional form of the Mass known as the Latin Mass. One of the things when I go to the Latin Mass, and I go probably about twice a month. I go, the Novus Ordo parishes are all around me. There's a Latin Mass parish about 45 minutes from me in downtown Phoenix. So I go there like probably twice a month. I try to make it. Okay? And I didn't grow up with the Latin Mass, so I'm speaking about somebody who's blind, and I know nothing about the Latin Mass. That's not my experience. But when I do go there, in the last year, maybe year and a half, that I started going there twice a month on Sundays, I like the sacred silence. I even like the fact that here's the way I feel like. Let me tell you. I feel like a soldier being led to battle by a general who leads us. The priest in the Latin Mass is like the tip of the spear leading a platoon of soldiers. And that's what we are, soldiers for Christ. The priest is facing east towards the risen Christ. We call that ad orientem. That was the position for about 1,800 years in both East and Western liturgies. It still is in the East. And the Latin Mass feels to me like the logical extension and transformation and fulfillment of the Old Testament Jerusalem temple sacrifice with the high priest officiating ad orientem and assisted by the Levites as his acolytes. In the Old Testament, the lay people, they were not allowed in the sanctuary. They were in the courtyard. Much like in the Latin Mass, the Catholic priest in persona Christi, who is the everlasting high priest, is assisted by male acolytes or altar boys, and the rest of the people, and the rest of the lay people are in the nave, kind of like the Jewish courtyard. The nave, that comes from the word navy. That's a naval battleship. We're in the battleship. And the priest is the point man. And just theologically speaking, from my formation from biblical theology, from Dr. Scott Hahn's biblical theology from the last 25 years, I can see all these connections. The Latin Mass emulates the Old Testament worship with the high priest who's ad orientem before the Ark of the Covenant inside the Holy of Holies. And if you ever want to see the way Jews worship, just read Sirach chapter 50, verses 1 to 21. Because that's a book in the Old Testament that describes a Jewish liturgy in the Temple of Jerusalem by the high priest. And you'll see how it foreshadows the Catholic Mass, specifically the Latin Mass. And let's not forget, the type and shadow is never greater than the reality, which is Christ in the New Covenant holy sacrifice of the Mass. And here's another thing, that there's a prayer that's prayed in the Mass where the priest says, this is the mystery of our faith. He says, this is Mysterium Fidei, the mystery of our faith. I'll tell you, me personally, when have I actually experienced the mystery of our faith? Do I experience it in the noise? No. Much like the book of Kings, chapter 19, I experience God, personally me, I've sensed this mystical encounter with the glorified risen Christ when my soul is hearing and receiving sacred music, or where there's even silence during Mass, or I sense the encounter, this mystical encounter with the risen Christ when I receive Holy Communion on my knees, or with my hands together like Our Lady Guadalupe are, just like her hands are in the image of the Tilma, hands together like a child in humility. Or when I'm in front of an altar rail, I feel that sense of mystery with Christ. Or when the altar boy puts a paten under my chin. That also, to me, it just allows me to enter into the mystery of Christ. And especially by a Catholic priest who gives me Holy Communion on my tongue. I feel kind of like that fiery angel spoken about in the book of Isaiah, where that fiery coal that was put in the mouth of Isaiah the prophet and purified him. That's how I feel. That's how I encounter God. You know, the ability to kneel down before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we all should, as the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, kneeling down and receiving Jesus in Holy Communion, that's a physical manifestation before God of having faith, the faith of a child. That's the faith that saves you. And kneeling down is the way your soul acts through your body and practices humility. The Latin word humus means from the ground. And this was the tradition for well over 1,000 years in the West, kneeling down to receive Holy Communion. And a priest at the Latin Mass, he really exercises his fatherhood. What do I mean by that? He literally feeds his children the bread of life. I'll tell you what's very important at Mass too, so that you can just encounter God. The mystery of our faith is reverence. Reverence. In no domain is reverence more important than religion, because reverence profoundly affects the relationship of man to God. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm talking about how to become a real man, the worship of God, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And I'm talking to you about my mystical reflections as I attend Holy Mass. Jesus 911. We'll be right back.
We finally did it. We have a Catholic Mental Health Conference on April 25th, 2020, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel with Dr. Luis Sandoval. He's going to be speaking on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Number one, he's going to go on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Second hour, depression, anxiety versus oppression and obsession. The third hour, bipolar disorders. Oh my gosh, infestation and possession. He's going to talk on mental health with the spiritual aspect. Number four, talk will be on drug use, altered mental status versus demonic influence. I want to hear that talk. I hope you do too. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. The date is April 25th, 2020. Be there by calling 877-526-2151. God bless you.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this Word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, one-man car. I'm a keen car. Eddie's out there doing some apostolic work. Let me tell you something. I remember years ago when I took a course from Dr. Scott Hahn. He talked about worship. And he says that a man who fails to worship God becomes a beast. Why? He says, because the human race, mankind, male and female, we were created on the sixth day along with the beast. So on the sixth day, God created the beast along with man, or man along with the beast. And Dr. Scott Hahn says, but the only species of creation that was meant to worship God eternally in a covenant relationship is mankind. So when a man or a woman refuses to worship God on the Sabbath, for us as Catholics, our spiritual Sabbath is Sunday, the Lord's Day. When a man refuses to worship God, they revert back to a beast-like existence, and they remain on the sixth day of creation and never enter into the seventh day of Sabbath rest with God, which is the worship of God, covenant relationship with God. This is why so many men, this is why our jails are full of men. They don't worship God. A man who doesn't worship God, who never enters into that covenant relationship with God as a father and you as a son, and acknowledge yourself as a son of God, what ends up happening is you end up following your passions. A man who worships God follows his intellect, right reason, based on right action. And what gives you, what forms the intellect and what strengthens the will? The worship of God. Especially reverence. That's why reverence is so important at Mass. There's an intimate link between reverence and sacredness. Reverence permits us to experience the sacred and to rise above the profane. Irreverence blinds us to the entire world of the sacred. You want to see irreverence? I didn't see it, but I heard about it. Watch the halftime shenanigans by Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. I didn't watch it, and I'm not going to watch it. I heard all about it. That's all I need to know. I haven't watched halftimes in NFLs for 10 years. Okay, so because I already know what they're going to put on. They're going to put on things that are going to be a near occasion of sin for men, especially. That's irreverence. What they did at the halftime shows irreverence, in case you want to know the definition of irreverence. And let me tell you something. Didn't the Jews tremble in deep awe when the priest brought the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies? Of course he did. Was Isaiah the prophet not struck with godly fear when he saw God in the temple and exclaimed, "Woe is me, I'm doomed, for I'm a man of unclean lips, yet my eyes have seen the King"? And remember the words of the first Pope, St. Peter, after the miraculous catch of fish. He said, "Depart from me, O Lord, because I'm a sinner." All of this in the Bible, it testifies to the reality of God. When he breaks in upon us, we're struck with fear and reverence, both. And I'm telling you, just as a Catholic, it's so important for us to honor reverence and to be reverent at Mass. It's so important to be reverent at Mass. And I'll tell you, we also should practice what's called piety. Piety, it's a German word, pietat. It doesn't have an English equivalent, but it may be understood as comprising respect for tradition, honoring what's been handed down to us by former generations, or fidelity to our ancestors and their works. Piety is actually a derivative type of word of reverence. And so it should not be confused with primary reverence, which we've described as the response to the very being of the mystery of God, and ultimately a response to God. But a Catholic should regard his liturgy with piety. He should revere and therefore fear to abandon the prayers and postures and music that have been approved by so many saints throughout the Christian era and delivered to us as a precious heritage. And let me tell you also something very important. Men like a militant church. What do I mean by that? In my take, why have many men abandoned the practice of Sunday Mass in spades? Why? I'll tell you what men like. Men like organization. Men like structure. Men like uniforms, nice, crisp uniforms. Men like duty. Men like intellectual stimulation and reverence. For example, men enjoy participating or watching the troops march in a parade. Men like, or they enjoy watching the military guard the military color guard and the 21-gun salute at a funeral. Men to watch or participate in that constant 24-hour vigil over the tomb of the unknown soldier by a fellow soldier marching in full regalia regardless of rain, storm, snow, or thunder. Men love to watch that discipline, concentration, and determination. And this is why men are attracted oftentimes, again, to a very reverent mass, the Latin mass, or a Novus Ordo mass done with reverence. And the problem is the Novus Ordo mass seems to be celebrated differently from one parish to another, from one diocese to another. One of the things that I've noticed is that in the Latin mass, the movements and postures of the priests are very crisp, they're exact, they're military-like. Even his vestments are fitted. To me, the Latin Mass is the icon of Catholic masculinity because it reminds me of the high priest, Old Testament worship. This is what Jesus was used to. When he would go to the temple, this is what he would see and participate in. And also, I'll tell you what men don't like. Men don't like an effeminate priest. I'm just going to be honest with you. And with all these sexual scandals, we're seeing how much effeminacy has infiltrated the priesthood in the Catholic Church. And it pains me to say this. I'm embarrassed to say this. There's a Catholic priest friend of mine, Father John Perricone.
Really bad.
He's a professor of philosophy. And he says that he wrote an article. He says the priest as Hercules. I love that. The priest as Hercules. He says this. As Hercules, the Catholic priest is given strength from heaven beyond ordinary human capacities. Hercules willingly embraces 12 labors.
I wanted to share a story with Jesse about
bravely overcoming their wickedness. Similarly, the priest encounters the gates of hell, clothed in Christ's sacerdotal armature. The priest, as Ultra Christus, vanquishes hell's terrors with the invisible power of the sacraments.
Mary?
Hercules is always depicted by rippling mounds of muscle, and the priest enjoys a more formidable notice. His heroic virtue, which amazes the world more than Hercules imposing the physical frame. The dogmatic picture of the priest has been obscured by the great crisis of the past two decades. In fact, the attenuation of the priest reaches back for some 50 years. After the Second Vatican Council, many thought the priest's sacred character ill-fitted to modernity's brave new world, the theological class bullied bishops into accepting a new paradigm of priests as a political actor, as a social activist, and throughout the South American church as a guerrilla Marxist. Rich, do we have a phone call? Is somebody trying to call in? If you want to call with any comments or questions, okay, let's go. You're on.
Okay, so I wanted to share a very interesting story.
Who am I talking to?
Yesterday.
Who am I talking to?
This is Mary Gutierrez from El Paso, Texas.
Mary Gutierrez, welcome. Go ahead, Mary, you're on.
Okay, so I have a friend that's in a domestically abusive relationship.
Okay.
Sorry, it's echoing a little bit. And she asked me to babysit her children once a week, and the father of her children that's abusive has to bring them over. And so I try not to get drawn into the drama.
Right.
But they were starting to draw me in, like, oh, she said this. And I'm, like, not willing to get involved with that. So before he brought the kids over, I didn't want him to enter the house. I just wanted to go pick up the kids. So I put blessed salt all around the perimeter of my house and inside my house and on the front lawn and the walkway.
Okay.
I've heard from you and from reading about blessed salt, you know, that it just weakens the power of evil.
Yeah, so and it's also, thought, you know, it also drives away demons. It drives away the diabolical. And, yeah.
Perfect. Cause
yeah.
I Googled a prayer to say with the blessed salt as I laid it around my house and asked for him to drive away demons, to weaken the power of evil and just to protect us. And so I did that and then I went about my chores and then he called. I didn't answer. He texted. I didn't answer, saying that they were outside. And then my friend had to message me saying that he was there. just to get my attention. So I went outside, picked up the kids. He passed me them. And I brought the kids inside, and we went on with our day. And then as I was doing my chores, I realized he didn't even cross the perimeter of my house. He just passed me the kids.
And that's where you and that's where you bless the salt, right? That's where you pour the salt, correct? Mary. Wow. Mary, thanks for sharing that story. Okay, Mary, call back if you want to continue. Here's what I got from Mary's story. She poured blessed salt around her house. Blessed salt is a sacramental. This sacramentals have power because it derives their power from the church's blessing. But again, a church blessing derives its power from Christ himself. And so sacramentals, they sanctify a place, and they also drive out demons. And Mary, as you were saying, are you there, Mary? Are you back on? You want to finish the story? Okay. And the fact is, this couple that's having problems, I'm just guessing the husband is not really on board with the Catholic faith. He comes to pick up the kids from her, and he didn't walk past the threshold, which is very interesting because that's, in fact, where she poured the blessed salt. Which again, it goes to my point that blessed salt has properties. It's very powerful against the diabolical. It just drives them away. And it's not a coincidence that he couldn't walk through the threshold. As we're waiting for Mary's phone call, let me give you a little bit of the theology of the blessed salt, because people ask that question all the time. Blessed salt's an instrument. It's called a sacramental. It's an instrument of actual grace to preserve one from the corruption of evil occurring from sin or sickness or demonic influence. And just like in all sacramentals, its power comes not from the sign itself, but by means of the church's official liturgical prayer of blessing. It's a power the church derives from Christ itself. Mary, finish your story. Hello, Mary. You're on. Finish your story.
Cross the threshold of my house. I put it on the perimeter outside. Okay. And I didn't even realize it till I went back inside that he passed me the kids from the outside and was staying on the where his car was. So whenever my friend came to pick up the kids from me, I let her know, like, you know, there was minimal conversation. He just passed me the kids and I went on with the day. And she said, that's funny because I told him to go take the kids to your door and knock. And he said, no, there's a gate there. That's rude. I don't want to go.
Wow. Hold on. Hold that story. I want you to pick up the story on the other side. Mary's talking about a powerful story with blessed salt. We'll be right back. Jesus 911. Don't change the dial.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies. Featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Bye. buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, Jesse Romero, 10-8, giving Catholic briefing and intel out there to the soldiers of Christ, to the troops out there, so that they can be more faithful disciples of Christ and evangelize a pagan world, a world gone mad. We've got Mary who's talking about a story of the power of blessed salt, the sacramental. Mary, continue with the story. This is fascinating.
Sure. So basically the end of my story is my friend came and picked up the kids and she sat in my living room and I explained to her how I put the salt down and how it was interesting that he didn't come past it. And she said, that's funny because he was insisting that I get a hold of you so that he wouldn't have to come knock on the door. Because actually I have a driveway and then there's a gate and then you have to go knock on my door. And he said, no, there's a gate. You just keep calling her. I don't want to go knock. That's rude. And she's like, just go. Just go. It's not rude. She's expecting you. And he refused to do it until I came out of the house and passed the threshold that perimeter I set up and got the kids on the street at his car. So I just thought that was super interesting. And my friend actually has asked me to bring some salt to her house because she's kicking him out this weekend. But she's not a practicing Catholic. She's not in a state of grace. Mm. Will it even help her?
Well, again, this is sacraments and sacramentals are not magic. Their efficacy, their power works when the person using them is in a right relationship with God, which means living in a state of grace. And so I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you something that's not very popular. No, it's not going to help her. No.
Okay, that's good.
It only helps you because you're a serious Catholic. You live your faith. Sacramentals. Now, what will help her is she's got to cry out to God. Psalm 130, okay, it's a psalm of crying out to God. If your friend, even though she's not in a state of grace, she can start moving in that direction. Tell her, get on your knees and cry to God and tell him you're sorry for all of this, the mess that you've made walking away from him. Psalm 130 is a psalm of David where he cries out to God, and God, at that moment, he starts giving you the grace to restore that relationship. So let me go up to Psalm 130 in the Bible here. It's so beautiful. Yeah, it's called a song of ascents. And in fact, even a person who's possessed by a demon, this is the first thing that they have to do in their heart so they can get set free from the diabolical and even people in mortal sin. Psalm 130 says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept the record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you." So tell your friend, read Psalm 130 and Psalm 151, and then tell her, come back to church, get right with God, so that she can start using all these sacramentals. Okay, Mary?
The mass, on the two masses that he sent out.
Okay, hold on. Who do we got now? Who's on?
I'm still on. I think I'm still.
Hello, Jesse?
Okay, I'm on with Mary right now. Mary, tell her to read Salt. Rich, I can hear your conversation. I can hear this conversation.
Jesse, give him my reflection or my thoughts on his writings that he gave us.
Okay, Mary, we're going to have to, we got another phone call. But
name is Jimmy.
Have her read Psalm 130 and Psalm 51
from Vicelica,
and have her go back to confession and get right with God so that sacramentals and the sacraments can start playing a role in her life to keep her strong. Okay, Mary?
All right. Thank you.
We got another phone call. Rich, who do we got on? Who do we have? Okay, we got Jimmy from Vicelia. Jimmy, go ahead. You're on.
Hello, Jesse. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I'm just calling you because of
I read your reflections on the two masses.
Right.
And I feel like we've been robbed. And that's
how do you think I feel?
I feel very, it feels sad that.
That's why I wrote
we've been robbed of the truth. I know. And thank you. I just want to say thank you for writing that. And now I'm more looking forward to visiting the Lent Mass more often.
Yeah. Just remember that was part of our tradition. So, you know, don't be like a lot of Catholics. Oh, it's in Latin. I don't like it. You know what? You know who doesn't like Latin? Demons don't. If there's one reason for a Catholic to start trying to ingratiate themselves to the Latin Mass, one reason, here it is. Demons don't like Latin. If demons don't like Latin, they said, you know what? I don't care if I don't understand it. Then that's where I should probably be. So just think about that.
Yes,
but Jimmy, what else did you like about the article?
The fact of the matter is that that all the history behind it, that I don't even understand why the Protestants were involved, first of all. And they took away the truth from us, the most holiest things that we have, in order for us to become more better men and more or be more sacred to God in the Mass, because we're more blessed.
Jimmy, here's what happened in the 60s. The 60s was a crazy time in the country, and we're still feeling the effects of the 60s. Sexual revolution, Vietnam War, question authority, pro-abortion, the homosexual movement took off, riots, anarchists, and all of that affected the Catholic Church, because a lot of those Catholics that were at Vatican II, they were affected by all the chaos and the anarchy in the 60s that was happening in the West. And so that did affect also people's ability to think theologically. And they figured, well, you know what? Let's make a Mass. Let's do the Mass over so that Protestants could, like, they can feel comfortable with it. That'll look something that'll be very ecumenical, and maybe we can bring more conversions. So they probably had good intentions. I don't know. I can't read their minds. But the fact is, they failed. If they wanted to remodify the Mass to bring more Protestants in, guess what? It failed. It absolutely failed, because, in fact, what they did is started bleeding the church, because they brought in, again, a lot of irreverent things into the Mass on Sundays that we see that were never part of the tradition of the church. And that's why women are very faithful. Women will keep going to Mass. It doesn't matter, you know, what happens to the Mass women. But guys are saying, you know what, man, this is hokey pokey. This is folksy. This looks like a Protestant service. This looks like a feel-good service. And guys have been checking out for centuries, for decades, since Vatican II. And again, guys like sacredness, reverence. That's what they like. And that's why I wrote the article, just to give people a heads up.
Yes, that's correct. And so what's going to happen here, and we live in the Central Valley, that we're going to try to create a men's group that's going to take us towards that road where we could bring the Latin Mass to the Central Valley. We have one in Fresno County, but we want to try to bring it closer to home, and we could get more men involved. We're looking forward to that in the future. So
good job. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take men to get involved. And I'll tell you, I've seen the Novus Ordo Mass done in Latin, and it's very reverent, the Novus Ordo Latin Mass, but it's not. For example, if you want to see the Novus Ordo Latin Mass done very reverently, look at the EWTN Mass. Have you seen it?
No, I have not seen it. I've been looking at the
If you watch EWTN Mass, of course, they used to do it at Orientum, which they want to do it at Orientum, but they were not allowed to by their bishop for whatever reason. I don't know why. But the EWTN Mass, when it's done at Orientum, that would probably be what I would call the best description or the best example of the Vatican II Novus Ordo Mass. Jimmy, thanks for your phone call.
I just want to say that there are priests out here doing that, Jesse, in the Central Valley. I won't mention where, but they are starting to come back.
Good. Praise God.
You know?
Yeah, yes, no, the Novus Ordo Mass can be done very reverently, but it needs to be done like just like the documents actually say. Latin has to be given pride of place, and the priest should be doing it, the consecration. He's got the option of doing it ad orientem. Ad orientem is the more traditional way. It copies the Jews. It copies both the East and the West for 1,800 years, and the Latin is the sacred language of the church. So the Novus Ordo Mass property followed, according to the documents of Vatican II, should be top-heavy with Latin. Thanks,
and I
Jimmy.
Would like to say to all those, I just want to say to all those men out there to please read your reflections on the two forms of the Holy Mass, because I'm from 1975 and we've been robbed and I didn't know any of this. So it's very, very informative that that men out there read, and deacons and priests read your reflections, because it is going to tell us the truth. So we could come back to that truth. That's all I'm going to say, Jesse. Thank you and God bless.
Yeah, you can get my reflections. Go to my website, jesseromero.com, jesseromero.com. It's on the front page. Just click on it. It says essays, some of my essays on the front page. And then the essay's called My Reflections on the Latin Mass. My Reflections on the Latin Mass. I've never talked about the Mass before. People who know me know I talk about evangelization, a relationship with God, apologetics, how to defend the faith against Protestants and atheists. A lot of you know me. Also, I also make a lot of statements on political issues where it transgresses Catholic teaching. I make a lot of statements and give a lot of talks on the culture wars, but I've never talked about the Mass. I've kept my mouth shut all my life. I say, you know what? I'm not a bishop. I'm not a priest. I'm not going to be commenting on the Mass. And so I say this is above my pay grade. But finally, I've come to the point where I'm saying, you know what? I'm not a young man no more, and I know too much. And I need to share what I know with younger people so that they can at least see the situation that we find ourselves in and how we got here. And so I wrote a document called My Reflections on the Latin Mass. I think you will be enlightened, just like Jimmy was. Thanks, Jimmy. God bless you. I want to talk about some of the silver linings. Now, I grew up in the Vatican II Church. I was born in 1961. And it's pretty well established that there were modernists, there were communists, there were Masons and dissenters, and there was even Protestant advisors at Vatican II among the experts. That's a fact. That's not even beyond dispute anymore. But be that as it may, divine providence was still at work at Vatican II. What do I mean by that? You'll learn on the next segment, the final segment, how was divine providence at work at Vatican II? Want to stay tuned? I'll let you know how.
Hands-on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. I'm talking about my reflections on the Mass, the power of the Mass, and what happened at Vatican II. I think we have another caller on. I don't see the name, but it says on air. You're on with Jesse. Go ahead. Hello. Okay, I'll wait till Rich lets me know. Okay. So how is divine providence still at work at Vatican II? By divine providence, I mean that God gets his way while man gets his way as well. And this is actually stated in the Catechism in paragraph 600. It says this, quote, "For the sake of accomplishing his plan of salvation, God permitted the acts that flowed from their blindness," close quote. So what am I saying? Whatever good has happened after Vatican II, despite ambiguity in some documents, and despite some modernist theologians sitting as experts at the council, this is known in medicine as collateral circulation. So what does that phrase mean, collateral circulation? If you talk to a doctor or a paramedic, this phenomenon that happens naturally in the human body happens in order to protect the heart. Collateral circulation is where minor blood vessels enlarge to enhance circulation to compensate for damage to larger vessels. It's a circulation of blood around a blocked artery or vein by way of another path, such as nearby minor vessels. And by way of analogy, the modernists at Vatican II, they did attack the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which is the heart of Catholicism. And so what happened? Well, God in his divine providence, minor blood vessels kicked in and continued to bring in the grace of God to his bride, the church. How? Some of the new minor blood vessels that came out of Vatican II was EWTN Catholic Radio, EWTN Catholic Television, Catholic social media via the internet. How about adoration chaplets? How about the chaplet of the Divine Mercy devotion? The resurgence in apologetics, or the resurgence in Marian devotion, or the pro-life movement, or the St. Paul Center of Biblical Theology, or certain aspects, notice what I said, certain aspects of the charismatic renewal, such as a fervor for reading the Bible and also lay involvement in evangelization. Another good vessel, that minor vessel that came out of Vatican II, these minor vessels that kicked in, was theology of the body. How about Orthodox Catholic publications? How about lay apostolates such as Focus, St. Joseph's Communications, the St. Augustine Institute, Church Militant, LifeSite News, Lepanto Institute, Catholic Answers, Independent Catholic Radio, and Catholic Social Media. And now there is even a resurgence of the Latin Mass, which was almost eradicated by the modernist. God had mercy on me, because despite all this confusion and dissent since Vatican II, the Lord woke me up about 30 years ago. I had what the church calls an interior conversion, just like much of you, like many of you have had. I had an interior conversion in my late 20s. And all of a sudden, I woke up to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of this happened through the Charismatic Renewal and Life in the Spirit seminars. So again, God can use the B team to wake somebody up. But once I was woke, so to speak, my doctrinal formation was heavily drawn from Catholic Answers, Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. Brent Petrie, Dr. Michael Barber, Jeff Caven's biblical theology courses, and to be honest, much of my catechesis was drawn from Archbishop Fulton Sheen's Life is Worth Living book and CDs, along with Father John Carapi's verse-by-verse through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And so I thank God for putting all these people in my life to build me up from the life of a low-information, lukewarm Catholic. But the fact is, it doesn't mean that I'm going to sit on my laurels and just be happy the way things are right now. As a Catholic, I have to share the truth, evangelize, bring people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that's our goal. Let me share something with you of why I appreciate sacred music, Gregorian chants. But in fact, almost every night, I flip open my laptop in my room after my night prayers, after my wife and myself do our night prayers. I put on my laptop, and guess what I put on? I put on Gregorian chant very low. And I go to sleep all night listening to Gregorian chant. I want to flood my mind with just the contemplative thoughts of God. And by the way, sacred music drives out demons from the house. Just read 1 Samuel chapter 16. It's right in there. It's in the Bible. Demons don't like sacred music. And it doesn't get any better than Gregorian chant. Let me tell you something about Gregorian chant that a lot of people don't know. We say, okay, so where did this come from? Where did Gregorian chant come from? Some will say, well, didn't it come from Pope Gregory the Great in the 5th century? It actually comes from way before Pope Gregory the Great. I talked to a Jewish professor one day, okay? He's a Jewish rabbi in Manhattan. And this Jewish professor said that Catholic Gregorian chant, it comes from the Jews. His name is Professor William Mart. He's a professor of music. Okay? He's a Jewish professor of music. He says, you Catholics took your Gregorian chant from us. By the way, he runs a Hebrew school as well. He says, you Catholics sing the Psalms at Holy Mass. He says, the Jews, he said, the way you guys sing the Psalms, the tone of the Catholic hymnody or psalmody that's sung at Mass, he says, that comes from ancient Judaism. He says, if you want to know how Jesus and Mary and Joseph prayed, he says, when you sing the Psalms at your Catholic Mass with the Gregorian tones, you're as close as you can come to pray with Jesus and Mary, because they sang the Psalms in tones that have come down to us specifically in Gregorian chant. So Gregorian chant, the tone and hymnody and psalmody of Gregorian chant is taken from the Jews. This is the way they sung the Psalms or intoned the Psalms during worship and in prayer. And so if you're ever wondering, how did Jesus and Mary and Joseph pray? Listen to Gregorian chant. Gregorian chant is the Latin manner, the Latin musical style of Jewish worship, of the Jewish prayer of the Psalms. And so this is the Gregorian chant, although it was probably instituted by Pope Gregory the First, who died in 604 AD, but Gregorian chant was already 1,000 years old by the time Pope Gregory the First reigned as the Pope. He simply reorganized it and codified it and helped to establish musical schools to sing it and to teach it. So Gregorian chant wasn't an invention of the Catholic Church. It was a reform of the Catholic Church. Gregorian chant took the unbroken tradition of truly sacred music from the Jews, which is why Vatican II says it should be given pride of place. Now, let me end with something that's kind of build you up here. Ultimately, let's not forget that the church belongs to Jesus Christ. It's his bride. Which reminds me of the words attributed to Pope John the 23rd. One day they told Pope John the 23rd, wow, look what's happening in the church. Look at this problem. Look at this problem. Look at this problem. And you know what he said? He said when he went to bed every night, he would say, quote, Lord, it's your church. I'm going to bed. Hey, that was Pope John the 23rd. Lord, this is your church. I'm going to bed. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you the words of St. Padre Pio. He says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. Finally, if you want to see something so beautiful, so powerful about the sacred liturgy, the Mass, there's a video on YouTube called The Veil Removed. The Veil Removed. The Veil Removed. It's on the front page of my website. You can click on it. It's a short 5-minute film which reveals the coming together of heaven and earth at Mass, at the Catholic Mass, as seen by the saints and mystics, supported by Scripture and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's absolutely stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. So I just want to end by telling all of you that pick up your 5 stones every day. What do I mean by the 5 stones? We're in a war right now, and we need all hands on deck. David killed Goliath with 5 stones. The 5 stones that all of you should be using today as Catholics. Pray the rosary every day, number one. Number two, go to Mass every Sunday and the holy days of obligation, and try to go to Mass as often as possible during the week if you can. Number three, read your Bible every day, the Mass readings every day. Let the Mass readings be burning your soul every day. Like Samuel the prophet said in 1 Samuel 3:9, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Read the Bible every day. It takes 5 to 10 minutes. Don't make excuses. Number four, on Fridays, fast and abstain from meat on Fridays. And number five, go to confession every month. And if you're in mortal sin, don't wait. Go to confession now, as soon as possible. Remember this, when you look at a crucifix, the crown of thorns on his head, the cross of wood on his back, he had you in his mind. Up next, don't turn that dial. Stick around, Gary Matsuda, Hands on Apologetics. Then say Gary in the Catholic Dojo. God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.